The following is a Christians for Messiah Ministries production. Our mandate is to teach God's Word, train God's people, and release God's favor. We now invite you to listen to a powerful message by Dr. Peter Wins as he speaks on the book of Revelation. This is part of a 32-message series called Unexpected Fire. For further study, we encourage you to purchase the book Unexpected Fire by Dr. Peter Wins.
This is study number 6 on the book of Revelation. This message is called The Lion of Judah and His Angels. For this study, we will look at some verses from Revelation chapter 5. I'm going to read now Revelation chapter 5, verse 3 to 13. Who is worthy to break the seals and open the scroll, or even look inside it? I wept and wept because no one was found who was worthy to open the scroll or look inside. Then one of the elders said to me, "Do not weep. See, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has triumphed. He is able to open the scroll and its 7 seals." Then I saw a lamb, looking as if it had been slain, standing in the center of the throne, encircled by the 4 living creatures and the elders. He had 7 horns and 7 eyes, which are the 7 spirits of God sent out into all the earth. He came and took the scroll from the right hand of him who sat on the throne. And when he had taken it, the 4 living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb. Each one had a harp, and they were holding golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sang a new song. "You are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals, because you were slain with your blood. You purchased men for God from every tribe and language and people and nation. You have made them to be a kingdom and priests to serve our God, and they will reign on the earth." Then I looked and heard the voice of many angels, numbering thousands upon thousands and 10,000 times 10,000. They encircled the throne and the living creatures and the elders. In a loud voice they sang, "Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and strength and honor and praise and glory." Then I heard every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and on the sea and all that is in them singing, "To him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be praise and honor and glory forever. Amen." The book of Revelation is the revelation of Jesus Christ. That's what it's all about. John had seen the Lord in a new light. He saw him in that first chapter of the book of Revelation like a flame of fire. His face was shining like the sun. Flames of fire were coming out of his eyes. But there was much more to know about Jesus. And at this point in our study, John is still being introduced to the risen Lord, the champion of heaven. We know by inference from what we have already talked about in previous studies that in the scroll, which is in the hands of God Almighty who sits on the throne, are the plans for the end of the age. Wrapped up in that parchment are the details, the blueprints, and the designs for the defeat of Satan and the victory for the saints. All of this has been written on the scroll. And when it is unfolded and all of it comes to pass, then the Lord's Prayer will be completed and answered. Do you remember what that Lord's Prayer said? Our Father who art in heaven, holy is your name. Thy kingdom come. Where? On earth, just as it is in heaven. That is the finality of the work of the cross. And it hasn't happened yet. The kingdom of God is among us. It's growing. It's unfolding. It's increasing. And of his fullness, both grace and truth, we have all received. But the full measure of his kingdom will not come until the king himself is here. All of this takes place in the book of Revelation, and it's written in the scroll. John sees the scroll, and he knows instinctively what it's all about. I can see him studying it. I can feel his heart pounding with excitement and anticipation. And then he hears a loud voice that says, "Who is worthy to break the seals and open the scroll?" And an answer comes back, "But no one in heaven or earth or under the earth could open the scroll or even look inside." And John begins to weep because it's as if his hopes are dashed. It's as if everything that was ever promised, all of heaven's excitement and all the words of the prophets can only come to pass once the scroll is opened. And if nobody is worthy to open the scroll, then all is lost. And John's hopes fall to the ground. But suddenly, one of the 24 elders, they're not just harp players or bowl handlers or crown wearers. They're also good teachers. For one of these 24 elders speaks up and says, "John, do not weep. See, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has triumphed. He is worthy. He is able to open the scroll and to remove its seven seals." The angel had asked, "Who is worthy?" And a human elder responds, "The Lamb of God, the Lion from the tribe of Judah, the Root of David. He is worthy." Let's for a moment draw aside and just look at the Lion from the tribe of Judah. He still retains his Jewish identity in heaven. There is a Jewish God-man in the heavens. He doesn't just call himself the bright and morning star or the lily of the valley or the savior of the world. No, he is called the Lion from the tribe of Judah. And in case we didn't understand that he's proud to be a Jew, he says, "From the root of David." Amen. At the very last book of the Bible, he is again called the Son of David, the Root of David. Jesus has retained his Jewish identity. This tells us that the Jewish people have not been cast off or forsaken. It is not the end of the story for them. For there is one who is known the King of the Jews, and his name is Jesus. No single picture can fully describe what John is about to see. Because in Revelation chapter 5, verse 6, after the elder says, "There is one, the Lion from the tribe of Judah, who is worthy to open the scroll," John says, "Then I saw a lamb looking as if it had been slain, standing in the center of the throne. A lamb sacrificed was a very powerful picture in the scriptures. It was the job of the priest to sacrifice the lamb in Old Testament times. They would take the lamb and cut its throat. And within 20 seconds, they would lift the lamb up onto a set of hooks while its heart was still beating so that the blood could pump out of the animal's body. And that is a picture that is messy and violent. It is a destructive picture that makes us feel uneasy. But when John turned to see the lion from the tribe of Judah, he said he saw a lamb as if it had been slain. What did he see on that day when he saw the Lord Jesus, the crucified Lamb of God, who was there giving his life for the sins of the world? Do you remember what John the Baptist said? We read about that in John chapter 1, verse 29. He said, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world." Only this lamb whose life was sacrificed for humanity's sins is worthy to break the seals and remove them and open the scroll so that the blessings of God could come in fullness upon Israel and the church. Why is Jesus the only one worthy? I believe it is because Jesus is the one who paid for man's sins. Only through that name of Jesus can a man be saved. Once the seal is opened, or the scroll is opened, and the seals are broken, the clock for the tribulation period will begin to tick. From that point, there will be seven very definitive years of systematic, directive, judgments, and revivals that will bring sinners who persist in their evil to destruction, but call the people of the world to salvation. At the end of the book of Revelation, there is no longer opportunity for salvation. So when the scroll is open, the time of grace has a limitation for salvation. That's when the clock starts ticking, which means its end is in sight. Because Jesus is the one who shed his blood and paid with the most expensive currency in all of the universe for our sins, he is the only one worthy to say, "No longer shall my blood avail for the salvation of souls." That's why he's the only one worthy to break the seals and to release the blueprints of the end of the age. We read there in Revelation chapter 5, verse 13, that once the scroll is open, the whole of heaven begins to worship. And it says, they say, "Worthy is the Lamb." Actually, 100 million angels. 100 million. 10,000 times 10,000. Do the math. That's 100 million angels will be swirling over the throne of God. And they're flooding the air with energy as they sing, "Worthy is the Lamb." And it says, then every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth will join in worshiping the Lamb. And they will sing to him who sits on the throne, and to the Lamb be praise and honor and glory and power forever and ever, because he is opening the scroll, the only one worthy to do so. And with the opening of that scroll, John's heart will beat again. It will start to, he'll get blood back in his system again. He'll see that hope is not lost, but victory is assured. For the purposes of God will come to pass. For we have a champion who not only died on the cross, but will release the end time purposes of God to destroy the devil and bring God's blessings to Israel and the church. Worthy is the Lamb. In this picture of the throne room, we do get this glimpse of all the armies of heaven. Do you remember the time when the enemies came against the prophets of old, and the prophets saw that their servants were distraught and discouraged? And the Lord said, "Open the servants' eyes that they might see the armies of heaven." And the eyes of the servant were open to see beyond the natural veil. And they saw all around the walls of the city the chariots of the Lord with the angels, the hosts of heaven. And they said, "There are many more with us than those who are against us." I want you to understand that heaven is filled with angels. And that's not even to mention the angels who are here upon the earth. Because every child that is born is given a guardian angel. The Lord says, "Be careful how you treat little children. If you abuse them, it would be better if a millstone, 1,000-pound rock, were tied around your neck and it was thrown into the sea, dragging you behind it, than for you to hurt a little child. For their angels do always behold the face of their Father in heaven." Each one is given a guardian angel. If there are 6 billion people on the planet, if we do the math, we find out there's at least 6 billion angels. But there are many more than that. In fact, in the throne room, there's 100 million of them whose task at this time is just to prophesy and worship and join in with the throne room high court commission as they get ready for the end time purposes of God. In the last little bit of this study, we want to look at the 7 special angels who work together with he who is called the Lion and the Lamb, the Lord Jesus. And so we go to Revelation chapter 4 and verse 5. And we read, "Before the throne, 7 lamps were blazing." These are the 7 spirits of God. And we also read in Revelation chapter 5 and verse 6. "He," that is Jesus the Lamb, "had 7 horns and 7 eyes, which are the 7 spirits of God sent out into all the earth." Now you remember some of the descriptive words used for the angels in the Bible, that they are ministering spirits who are sent out into all the world to serve those who are heirs of salvation. Here we see a picture of Jesus standing between the throne of the Almighty and the altar of prayer. And around him are 4 mighty angels. They are called the 7 horns, or the 7 eyes, or the 7 thunders who stand in the presence of the Lord. They are called the 7 spirits of God, in keeping with the biblical description of angels. These are archangels. God Almighty personally has 4 living creatures who will be the ones to release the first sorte of judgments in the first campaign when the 4 horses of judgment go forth. But Jesus, he has seven archangels. And they are given even more names than the ones that I have described to you so far. If we go through all the scriptures, and especially through this book of Revelation, we discover that these seven angels have nine different names. They are called horns, eyes, spirits, winds, stars, torches, angels, thunders, and lamps. We read in Jude chapter 1 and verse 8 of Michael, who has a fight with the devil. He is an archangel. And we read in Luke chapter 1 of Gabriel. That was the angel who came to Mary. These two are archangels, but they are only two of the seven. At least five other archangels are presently ministering on the earth. They release their armies of guardian angels and messenger angels and political angels, angels that follow the commands of the great seven. In Revelation chapter 1 and verse 20, we read, "The mystery of the seven stars that you saw in my right hand is this. The seven stars are the seven angels." And then in Revelation chapter 3 and verse 1, we read, "These are the words of him who holds the seven spirits of God and the seven stars." The seven angels, stars, and spirits are one. We read in Revelation chapter 1, verse 6, "Before the throne, seven lamps were blazing. These are the seven spirits of God." In Hebrews chapter 1, verse 7 and verse 14, it says, "In speaking of angels, he says, he makes his angels winds, his servants flames of fire. Are not all angels ministering spirits sent out into all the earth to minister?" So as horns, angels are showing their power. When they are called eyes, it's to emphasize their prophetic vision. When the angels are called lamps, it's to emphasize their understanding and wisdom. When they are called stars, it's to emphasize their majesty and government. When they are called the seven thunders, it's to emphasize their passion as they serve as heralds and announcers of the coming king. When they are called winds, it's to show that they function as celestial ambassadors, moving like the wind. And when they are called the seven spirits of God, it is to emphasize their supernatural capabilities. Revelation chapter 8, verses 2 and 6 says, "And I saw the seven angels who stand before God, and to them were given seven trumpets. Then the seven angels who had the seven trumpets prepared to sound them." We read about them in another capacity in Revelation chapter 15 and verse 6. It says that they will pour out the wrath of God. We read, "Out of the temple came the seven angels with the seven plagues. Then I heard a loud voice from the temple saying to the seven angels, 'Go and pour out the seven bowls of God's wrath on the earth.'" In Revelation chapter 10, we read about them in a different capacity as heralds proclaiming the edicts and judgments of the Lord with prophetic voices. We read, "When he shouted, the voices of the seven thunders spoke. And when the seven thunders spoke, I was about to write, but I heard a voice from heaven saying, 'Seal up what the seven thunders have said and do not write it down.'" At the end of the book of Revelation, one of the seven angels we read about in Revelation 21 and verse 10, the scripture says this, "One of the seven angels said to me, 'Come, I will show you the bride, the wife of the Lamb.' And he carried me away in the spirit." They not only show John about the people of God, the bride of Christ, but they also show him some of the dark side. For in Revelation 17, verses 1 and 3, we read, "One of the seven angels who had the seven bowls came and said to me, 'Come, I will show you the punishment of the great prostitute who sits on many waters.' Then the angel carried me away in the spirit." Do you remember about Gabriel? As I mentioned in Luke chapter 1, verse 19, when he appeared to Mary, he said, "I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God," along with the other six, he could have said, "and I have been sent to speak to you and to tell you this good news." And then what about Michael? Do you know that Michael is called a great prince who cares for the Jewish people? In Daniel chapter 12, verse 1 to 3, we read, "At that time, Michael, the great prince who protects your people, will arise. There will be a time of distress such as has not happened from the beginning of the nations until now. But at that time, your people, everyone whose name is found written in the book, will be delivered. Multitudes who sleep in the dust of the earth will awake, some to everlasting life and some to shame and contempt." We also read in Daniel chapter 10 about this Michael. In verse 10, we read that he is called a chief prince. It says, "Then Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me. Soon I will return to fight, but no one supports me against these enemies except Michael, your prince." They are called princes because they have government over a principality, over multitudes of angels. By the end of the Revelation chapter 5, most of the royal introductions are complete. We have seen the Lord God Almighty, the seraphim, the lion from the tribe of Judah, the 24 elders, the heavens filled with millions of angels, the sea of glass, which represents the souls of millions of saints in heaven, and now these seven archangels. The stage has been set. John has been shown the armies of heaven. The power grid of heaven has been uncovered. John is now ready to watch the battle unfurl because he has seen who is on the Lord's side. He has no fear. He has not any fluctuation of doubt in his heart or mind, for now he knows that the Lord God Almighty and the armies of Zion are poised and ready. Excitement is in his heart, and so excitement should be in your heart as you read the rest of this powerful end time book, the book of Revelation.
If after hearing this message you would like prayer or further information about our ministry, email Dr. Peter Wins at winsusa@comporium.net. That's winsusa@comporium.net. For additional teaching and other CMM resources, visit our websites at peterwins.org or unexpectedfire.com. Your financial contributions help this ministry continue. Your support is greatly appreciated. For tax receipts, send donations to Christians for Messiah Ministries, P.O. Box 36324, Rock Hill, South Carolina, 29732. We hope that you have enjoyed this powerful teaching by Dr. Peter Wins. We trust that it has taught you in the ways of the Lord, that it has helped to train you to be a better disciple, and that because of this teaching, you will receive more of God's blessings and favor on your life. From all of us here at CMM to all of you who are listening, we extend God's richest blessings.